Welcome to the NS9 postgame show powered by Permane Brothers. I'm Ryan. He's Cody. Cody, I'm not sure if you can show what dejected means, but it might be on the look of our faces for today's show. How are you doing today, Cody?
Frustrated. Yes, very frustrated. Very frustrated.
Pirates, let's get right into it here. Pirates drop a heartbreaker, ninth inning loss, 5-3 to the Tigers. Great game all around until that ninth inning. Pirates were sitting there. We were just waiting for 10-2 Buccos. This Buccos team, we're going to talk all great things again. And the bottom finally fell out. And it fell out in the form of David Bednar not being anywhere near the plate, hitting everybody, and just giving up the complete game lead victory. So,
yeah,
Cody. Yeah, let's talk Bednar.
Let's get to the positive stuff first. Let's keep people in here. Let's keep people in the show. You know, let's talk about the positives. Martin Perez looked like the Martin Perez I think everybody wanted to see. Like, that was the guy. 2022 was, I guess, his best season. That's what people were talking about, at least on Twitter. But like, he's the guy that came from the World Series winning team. He's the guy you want him to be. Like, it's everything you could have asked. Eight innings, only one earned run. What was it, seven strikeouts, I believe? He just threw a gem. And he wasn't slowing down until he gave up a couple hits there in the eighth, but then he got out of it. He gets out of it. And that's what you want to see. And, like, he was probably the guy this offseason that I was most excited for to be added to this pitching staff. Because, like I said, he was in the World Series last year. He has a ring, as well as Chapman. But he also has that veteran presence that I think they were looking for last year with Rich Hill. So he's just a way better Rich Hill. So, like, that's what I loved about him. And he showed it today why he's on this team. Outside of that, the other positives, you have the other pickup. Edward Olivares, two home runs. He's been phenomenal. He's another one of my favorite pickups. I think a lot of people were just kind of like, oh, okay, another guy. Like, nobody really expected too much out of Edward Olivares. I think he could have easily fit into that category of players of, like, a Josh Van Meter and, like, people that, oh, we just picked up another guy. But I think the pickup of Olivares has shown that we're no longer just looking for guys to fill spots. We're looking for guys to contribute, and that's what he's done since he's gotten here. So he has the two home runs, drives in what? Did he drive in all three runs?
And I think they were both – were they both solo shots?
Or were they solo home – I think they might have been solo home runs.
Yeah, I think they were both solo shots.
But he shows up, and he shows up big, you know. And I think this is me speculating a bit, but I think we might see an outfield that does not consist of Jack Sawinski very soon.
Yeah, Mr. Solar Eclipse, Jack Sawinski. Yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, it's a shame because, you know, we're going to talk Perez and Olivares, but because of how the game ended, they kind of get overshadowed. And, you know, I'm going right. I'll be that guy that sits there and says, why couldn't Perez go nine? But, you know, he was at 100 pitches. I always hate this, Cody, when you have a pitcher that's just cruising. And, you know, you mentioned the seventh inning, he got out of it. Really the only other time he struggled was that first inning. And, you know, he limited the damage right off the bat, got out of it, and then he was pretty much cruising after that. So you have a guy that's cruising, just the other team's not getting anything going. Tigers haven't really been hitting well. The whole lineup's like hitting like around 200 or under and just cruising. And then here you go, ninth inning, you bring in a different pitcher. And yeah, it's your closer. It's the guy that's supposed to shut the door, but here he gives the game away. So I think it's one of the worst ways to lose in sports. Like, blown saves are going to happen,
yeah. Right?
But when they do happen, it's just, they suck. And especially,
but to go from to go from a blown save to a nuclear blown save.
The way it happened was brutal. But you're right. I mean, Perez, you mentioned about getting him and his expectations. I think he overseeded expectations that I had, at least for him.
For a lot of people.
We were thinking six, maybe seven innings, he'll be a 1-2 run guy. I mean, it's kind of crazy. This is his 13th MLB season, which it's kind of crazy to, imagine he's been around that long. But yeah, he knows what he's doing out there. He's got the track record, and he looks like the Perez from 2 years ago. He's really, really looking good off this start of the season. And the Pirates pitching, I had a stat somewhere, Cody. It was the Pirates pitching the last six starts. I don't know what happened to it. I threw it when Bednar, I think, blew the game. It was like something like 37.2 thirds inning. The Pirates pitching, starting pitching has been definitely six innings. They've gone all six innings. Perez went eight today and like a 2.10 ERA or something like that. So just the starting pitching has been unbelievable. From where we thought we're not even seeing Skeens yet, and look where these guys are going. So even Falter's in there doing that. So yeah, the game was great. Everything was great. Pirates were rolling, got the hits, got the power when they needed it. Pitching was going good. And David Bednar entered the ninth inning. Renegade, Cody, renegade.
Yeah, the renegade comes in and, just does not do it. And, I mean, this is a guy who praises himself on – he loves to come in the big moment, in the moment where the game's on the line. That's where he plays best. Those are his words. He said those things before, and it just hasn't been it this year. He had the lat injury. My assumption is that he didn't let the lat heal properly. He was like, I got to get out there for my guys. He's one of those guys that wants to be there for the team. But sometimes you got to sit back and say, hey, I got to get healthy before I come back. Because this bullpen, we've seen it. Even without Bednar, they're dominant. I don't know the statistics, but from the eye test, Bednar has been the worst pitcher in this bullpen so far this season. Yeah. And I know
his ERA is like 12.34 or something now.
Exactly. And he's your closer.
Yeah. Dude, they're
what are they? That's not supposed to be a thing.
What are we, 9-3 and he's got three blown saves now?
Yeah. Like, what are we? I understand, like, you have a plan. It's only the first month of the season. I'm not trying to overreact, but I'm going to. This guy is your closer, your all-star closer. And he's blown three saves. You have a guy called Chapman. It's
April 9th.
The hardest throwers in the game. And he's been amazing. His role on this team, he has fulfilled. He has done everything he has been asked of. But why not switch roles? Just a little flip-flop. Just when you think you might need to. Because I'm sure these guys, the coaches, Shelton, Marine, they're around him all day. You got to notice that there's something wrong with the guy.
You're right.
You got to notice something's not the same.
And you just keep throwing just him keep out there in the ninth inning.
You just keep going with the game plan instead of pivoting. And I know we're not the biggest Shelton fans, but I have to say he has managed well so far this season. But I think today was his first huge mistake. I know you're saying they should have let Perez pitch. I'm okay with Perez coming out. Like you said, he was near 100 pitches or over. It's the beginning of the season. You don't want to wear his arm out this early in the season. But you got to, we got to do something different. If there's a guy on this team who started the season, or at least, no, he didn't start the season. He came back at the end of spring training, barely got any work in spring training because of an injury. And he just doesn't look good. Like, I don't even want to put the blame on Bednar, because there's so many people around him that work with him that need to notice that there is something wrong right now. And I saw somebody in the chat said he needs a rehab stint. I think that would be perfect for Bednar right now.
There's been a lot of that. It's hard to just sit there and call out, oh, he's an IL stint needs to come. But has anything even seemed more predictable than this? I mean, it'd be the most predictable thing ever if they announced tomorrow or something on the off day that he's going to the IL. And it would be one thing if he was coming out and just, velocity was down, or they were just getting to his pitches and they were hitting them all around the park. That'd be one thing. But like you said, the control's not there. They talked about the curveball today. You know, he's hitting guys on the back with the curveball.
Yeah, he can't control the curveball.
Yeah, two hit batsmen in one inning. He's all over the place. And like you said, you made a good point. There's no pitching coach, Shelton. Nobody is seeing this in practice. The fact that we understand he was, you know, he was rehabbing in spring training, didn't get a full spring training, didn't really get a spring training at all. So he's got some rust on him. And that's one thing. Maybe he needs that rust to come off. Maybe he shouldn't have even started the season on the 26 man active roster. Maybe they should have started him, let him get his, you know, rust off, get his arm up and then start him. You have Chapman, you know, you have another option who can get the job done, obviously, as we've seen so far this season. And yeah, like I said, what's wrong with him? It seems pretty obvious whether it's the rust or he still is injured and really needs to go to the IL and actually rehab something, or if he just needs to figure out what's going on. It was almost like he was, like, instead of just pitching and throwing, like he was trying to place everything perfectly. Like he was not pitching, but throwing. I don't know if that makes sense or, you know.
No, yeah, you're right. He's trying to make sure it hits the spot and not trusting his stuff.
Yeah, he's in his head, as Doug would say for Keller yesterday. Doug, people got on Doug for being upset. And I guess we got reasons to be upset. But I'm not saying necessarily Perez should have came out for a ninth inning. I mean, it's silly that, it's 100 pitches. Now we got to take the starter out. That's just baseball in general. I have to deal with it, but it's silly to me. And then it just always seems to happen. You have a pitcher that's cruising. As soon as you bring in, like, it's that 2-1 run game and you bring in the closer, and then all of a sudden it's a different pitcher, but it wasn't even like they were seeing him well. He just couldn't find. He was just all over the place. But my thing is, I don't think, like, whether Bednar stays with the team right now or he goes to the IL, like, I never like this ninth inning. It's got to be your closer. Like, mix it up. Base it off of, you know, the situation, or go with Chapman one day. Maybe throw Ronzi out there for a day. We've seen other guys this year, too, because Bednar has blown some saves. We've seen some other guys come up with some saves. So already in this very short season. So I just don't like it. Even if Shelton was just going off of his gut and saying, okay, today we're going to go with Chapman, today we're going to go with Bednar, whatever. I just don't like it where it's, hey, it's the ninth inning, it's got to be my closer. I think that's a stupid way to manage. And it's not just Shelton, it's across baseball for the most part. Some teams are kind of doing more of that, but I've always been that way with that. And it's just, so, you know, Bednar's just, he was the one to blame today. And someone, you know, Shelton should have, I don't have a problem starting him there today, but you got to know your guy might not have it. And if he doesn't have it, now he's just hit a guy. He's given the lead up. It's a tie game. You've gotten through the three minimum, you know, batter minimum. Get him out of there. Put Chapman or Ronzi.
And that was the most egregious thing that I noticed watching the game, was they didn't even call the bullpen until the lead was given up. Like, it was 3-3, and they had no one up in the pen. It was just like, all right, well, guess we're going to let them try and figure it out. We still need two outs, I think it was. And it's like, dude just blew the game. Like, as soon as the game is tied, you should be getting someone up in the pen. I don't see a reason not to.
Yeah, it was 5-3 when they made the call to get Ronzi back up.
I think it was 4-3, but it was on the verge of 5-3. Because I think it was 5-3 once that bloop single went over Alika's
head. And he had been warming in the inning before, so it wasn't, you know, he just needed a little bit, but he should have been up at least. When that bullpen was silent, and it was like from the first two batters, a five pitch walk, and then he hits the guy, you're like, This is scary. Like, you got the game on the line. So, yeah, I think that was Shelton. That was probably his first, like you said, he's been doing a good job managing this season. Of course, that's easy to say when your team is 9-2 and everybody just seems to be making the moves. When you put somebody in, they're getting the job done and they're doing it. So it's obviously the manager is going to get it's an easier job to manage. But I think this was the first really situation where he kind of fumbled it and just not being as quick as to the punch that he should have been with the bullpen.
Right. And it's like, you want to trust your players, but also when they're showing you like, hey, something's wrong here, you should probably be like, all right, K, can't trust you, got to get somebody up. We're going to try and save this game. Because even if this game ended up being a 4-3 game going into the ninth or into the bottom half of the ninth, I would have been way more comfortable. Because this team offensively has shown us we can come back from a deficit. But whenever you're it's 5-3 and the game's on the line, that's where my confidence plummets. Because it's like now you don't need just one run to get it to extras.
Right.
Now you need two. And that's asking for a lot. Not saying this team can't do it because they've proven they can this year. But in any situation, that's asking for a lot from your offense. Yes.
And you can't do – they're not going to do it every time. I mean, we saw this exactly. 2 days ago against the Orioles. And look, there's going to be games all year where – you stole a game, and this one you blow and you give up. So, like, it's going to balance out. You're going to have those games. The Pirates stole one 2 days ago against the Orioles, and this one they completely gave away. Just completely gave it away. And you're going to have those, but it's just a shame. And, you know, as far as, you know, we're getting on Bednar, we're getting on Shelton. I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter or X today. Just, I mean, Bednar is feeling like – we talk about living too long to see yourself become the villain. Bednar is feeling the wrath of Yinzer Nation right now. And I'm not all in agreement. Like, don't sit there and say mean, ridiculous things about the guy.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't all on him. Somebody on that Pirate staff should have saw that the guy doesn't have it. Maybe even before this game or before the season started, and sat him down and just said, hey, we got some other guys in the pen. We signed a guy for Chapman because of things like this. Let's just go with Chapman as the guy to start. Let's get Bednar's rust off and then get him back in there. And they didn't do that. So it wasn't just Bednar dropping the ball. It was a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of guys that could have spoke up there and just not had him out there in that situation or even on the active roster. So I don't want to see these vicious tweets that you see from these, fans on here that they get on the player. So, hey, Bednar has pitched a lot of great games for the Pirates. Right. He's been unbelievable for, 2-3 years now? It's April 9th. It's early in the season. Like, hopefully the guy gets it worked out, gets the rust off, IL stint, whatever it needs to be. That's why you got coaches to figure it out and help him out. So let's not bury the guy already. But, something needs to happen. There needs to be – either at the very least, I can't imagine an IL stint doesn't come, but if it doesn't, you at least got to make the bullpen, the closer change.
Right. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if it's announced in the next 6 hours that he's going to Indy, because there's something going on. And like we discussed, there's so many people around this team, someone needs to point it out. And if he refuses, you got to be like, buddy, doesn't matter. You're going on the IL. You need to figure this out. Maybe that's the fire under him that needs to be lit.
Right.
To be like, hey, you're a detriment right now. Like, just put it bluntly. I like to put things bluntly sometimes. Just put it bluntly.
Right.
You suck right now. You're going to go to Indy, and you're going to come back better than you were. Like, that's all a guy needs. And if that's how he needs to be spoken to by the front office, by the coaches, then so be it. He'll come back better for it.
Right.
I know, that's not really how things are done nowadays, but sometimes that fire just needs to be lit.
You need that old school fire. Right. But and it doesn't even need to be
in Jim Leland in there. Leland's been around. Tell him to get down there around and tell him to get his head out of his ass.
But I saw him and Sidney Crosby were down there today or something. It doesn't even need to be Indy. I'm not saying send the guy down, but an IL stint, something like let him figure it out behind the scenes and then come back. And I don't know if it was one of these things where they asked him and he just kept saying, I'm fine, I'm good, I'll be good for the season. And again, if that's the case, then, I mean, that's on him, but it's on the coaching staff too. So they have to have those difficult conversations to say, no, something ain't right here. We want to figure this out. We don't want to put you out there and have the Yinzers flipping out when you blow a save on April 9th. But I don't know if, with Holderman and Majinski starting the year on the DL or IL, I keep saying DL, on the IL, I don't know if that played a factor in the role too, maybe that's why they felt like they let's go with Bednar to start the season and see what happens. But yeah, it ain't working. It ain't working, folks. It needs to change. And hopefully they make the change and do something there. because you can't keep putting Bednar out there in the ninth right now.
Yeah. Well, I think we've said our piece on Bednar, but I do want to bring it back to another positive of this game. I don't want to leave everybody angry. I know we've been angry for a long time. Let's
look at the positive. Sandwiches to give out. I wanted to give out.
I know, no sandwiches, but I do want to point out Ke'Bryan Hayes, 2-for-4 today, had an RBI. Hoping he's starting to come along. He had a couple bad games. He's been here and there this season, I think. But I did like seeing him go 2-for-4 with an RBI today, and that's something that I think is good for us to look at and be hopeful for the future.
Right. And Hayes had a great game. We talked over the home run.
Jim points out, he just missed a home run. He got robbed at the fence. So he's seen the ball well. Just got to get a little more power. It'll come. But he played well today at the plate, as well as defensively. He had a couple good plays.
Yep. The offense, you know, Casey Mize was, you know, he was the top first-round pick, high first-round pick. He might have been the first overall. I think so. He's been out for a while. This, I think, is like second start or something in the year. The Pirates were – it weren't like, it wasn't like they were teeing him off on him all over the park, but
no.
Olivares certainly, you know, yes, took him deep. Like I said, Hayes had another one to the wall. Reynolds had a double. I mean, the Pirates are, it's kind of weird. Like the other day when they came back in that game, they haven't been, the lineup's been great, but they haven't been like, I was expecting more. I guess, well, you know, it's silly to say like more power because Olivares just had a 2-home-run game. But I guess maybe more power from Cruz, and you know, he's had a bunch to the wall, and he had a, you know, he's had a home run or two. But it's just, I guess I'm more expecting like just more home runs spread out for everybody. We haven't, yeah, we've had home runs. There's been like one or so a game, and that's compared to the last 6 years, an improvement. But I'm just hoping for more, and I don't know if that's just my high expectations or what. But yeah, I don't know. Like the lineup has been good, but it's just, I feel like they're just on the cusp of really breaking out and really showing off the power.
Yeah, and they mentioned that on the broadcast as well. Like, I think it was it Bob Walk today?
Yep.
I don't know. Walkie.
Yeah, and it was Walk. Yeah.
Walkie and Rock sound very similar to me, so I had to double check.
I'm pretty sure it was a Bob Walk, yeah.
But Bob Walk was talking about, like, this team, they're not expected to have the power, but you can see that it's coming. The power will be there when it's needed mid-season. He said, especially with the weather, like it's still cold. I mean, today was a beautiful day at PNC Park, 75 degrees, slight breeze. It was a beautiful day. I think that's maybe why we saw so many balls hit deep, but not getting just quite out. But as the temperature gets up and, you know, the air is a little, I mean, in Pittsburgh it gets thicker, but, you know, around the league, the air will be a little thinner and you'll be able to hit more balls deep. And I think that you're right. This team is on the cusp of that. It's coming. The one person in that aspect that I've honestly, this is a hot take. Oh, I've been slightly disappointed in is O'Neill Cruz. Not expecting every at bat to be a home run, but I mean, I'm expecting a little more. And maybe it's coming. Maybe it's give him a month and maybe it'll be there. But he's a guy who he has performed not up to my expectations so far, because everybody's saying, oh, he's the star, he's this guy, and I'm like, I still don't feel it. Like Connor Joe is outplaying him right now, in my opinion. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a hot take there. I mean, we talked about it a couple of days ago. Like his numbers look great, but like I just, like you said, I want to see like him just be that dude. And right, and take it. And maybe it's still too early. Maybe it's just our expectations are a little too high there because of spring training, what we saw there where he was just like home run left and right,
yeah,
every day. But yeah, like, I mean, 787 OPS, but we're just like waiting for him to just really take off. And I don't know if that's sort of like, it's just the whole lineup to me. Like I'm just waiting for them to be, I guess, maybe more consistent, maybe more clutch, getting that right big hit. Like it's been a lot of like, even the games they're winning like 5-3, 5-4. It's been a lot of singles, moving guys over, clogging up the base pass, which is great. But like, let's tap into some doubles and some home runs. And right, that's where I just feel like, and like you said, it's stupid to sit, don't come on here and complain on a 9-2 start the other day about the offense. But it's like, yeah, it's just like, I'm waiting for that power and just for them to, just kind of break out in that aspect. But you know, again, we were worried about the starting pitching, and the starting pitching has been great.
And fine, here, just fine.
And here, you know, here we are, and it's like you have that great start from Perez, and then you know Bednar just comes in and craps all over the place. And what sucks at this, and this is just our reality as Pirate fans, Cody. We're always waiting for that other shoe to drop. Like we're waiting for the slide, the slide into irrelevance again. And Pirates are 9-2. We're three outs away from being 10-2. And then this kind of crap happens, and you're just like, is this it? Is this the start? Like, how are you a Pirates fan and you didn't feel that? Like, that's what you're thinking in the back of your head. And so hopefully that's not the case. They have an off day tomorrow. You got to have the short turnaround, quick memory, get back out there. They go to Philadelphia to start a road trip on Thursday. And so hopefully hopefully this won't linger and we'll go from there. But as a Pirate fan, man, you're always worried about that.
Right. And this beginning of the season, like, you know, all my friends they're Yankees fans, they're Phillies fans, they're Mets fans, even though they're not too good right now either. But, you know, I'm always hyped about the Pirates, and they're like, yeah, but they're the Pirates. And that's where, you know, after a loss like this, from what has been happening, we've been taking care of business against these bad teams, plus a good team in Baltimore. Then to have a loss like this, granted, Detroit has started the season on a good note, but you look at them and you're like, to me, Detroit feels like what Pittsburgh was last year.
Alarm.
So, yeah. So, Detroit feels like what Pittsburgh was last year, and that's why I expected them to take both of these games, because Pittsburgh has shown us that they've taken a step up.
Right.
And Detroit is right behind them, but I think they're a year behind. So that's where I will end my piece.
Yeah, and a comment on here from Clutch Sports, he said the Pirates are second in MLB in doubles. And I haven't fact-checked that. I have no reason to believe that that's not true. It just doesn't seem like it. And maybe that
doesn't feel like it comes at the right times.
Right. And that's exactly where I was going. Like, it just – they're not driving in those runs on the doubles and home runs, I guess. It's always solo shots or nobody's on base in a double. That's at least the way it seems like, just, you know, off the top of my head, that it's been while, like, something just hasn't been right there. And like I said, that's why you look across the numbers of the lineup and they're good. The numbers are good. Like, we would love numbers like that in any of the past, like 5-7 years.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, it just feels like it just not is there. And maybe it's that clutch thing we're talking about. It's just not coming at the right time. Maybe it's that our expectations are just way too high, coming off of what we saw in spring training, but it is what it is. So it's a tough one, Cody. Tough one today. I mean, anything else you wanted to talk about? I just wanted to mention Henry Davis. He had his at bat where he struck out. I think it was in the fourth inning, dude. The guy, he was out ahead. He was out ahead of a couple pitches there.
Yeah.
Struck out, yelled the F word into you know, the camera. You could pretty much hear it, as you called it in our group.
Oh, chat. It was directly into a microphone. I could tell.
But even before, like, he yelled that and struck out, like, his body language in that whole at-bat was poor. No. Like, the dude was frustrated, frustrated that he was out early on those pitches. Yeah. And you know, he came, you know, he had a walk, and then he had a walk, he had a walk, and then he had a hit late in the game, a single. So, hey, Henry Davis, he's battling. I think he's frustrated with himself at this point. So it's interesting. I just wanted to just throw that out there, and just, I'm still concerned, but at least he is putting together decent at bats, and it is walking a bit.
And I mean, I hope he feels the pressure of Joey Bart behind him, because Joey Bart, since he's gotten here, has played well.
Yes.
Henry Davis, on the other hand, has not played up to expectation. So I hope a fire gets lit under his butt too. I'm going to go back to what Tyler said. I still don't think he's seeing the ball well. And it was evident today with him being too early on pitches. His swing is beautiful. He's either too early or he's swinging under it because he's trying too hard to get that exit velocity. And I think I said this before, maybe when I was on for spring training post game, but at some point he's going to have to work on his swing and how to get that exit velocity, because everything he's hitting is a line drive.
Yeah.
And that's not going to get out of the park. So,
and that's the thing with him. It's kind of the blessing and the curse. He was the 1.1, 1.1 overall pick. He drives and run. He hits the home runs. He's going to be judged on if he's driving and runs. And right. Hey, it's great. He's walking. Good at bats and single here or there, but 512 OPS, I believe it is. He needs to hit the ball out of the park, needs to get driving runs. So he's going to be judged on that. So whether that's good or bad, it's just reality. So he's got to start doing that. And we'll see.
But, yeah. And I mean, Jim mentions here, he was on base 3 times today. That's good to see. Right.
As I said, he's walking, he's putting up the good at bats. It's just, we need him driving in runs, Jim. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. I think Jim knows
Louisville
that.
Pride. Let's go. All right.
Louisville grad.
That's right. Louisville. I call it Louisville. Right.
Oh, man.
Anything else you want to talk about? Because I gotta go to a bus stop. I gotta go hang out.
We're already 4 minutes past your heart out. So
well, it's 3:34 on my clock, so I don't know, but we'll
I thought your heart out was at 3:30.
Nah, 3:35. We're good.
Let's get out of here.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Sorry we couldn't give some sandwiches out, but maybe on Thursday we'll be back. All right. See you, guys.
See you, folks.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.